Okay, so in the Bible, a shepherd is compared to a pastor. For that, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Ephesians 4, 7, and we're going to read all the way through verse 13. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, we're all measured out certain gifts. It's according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Each one of us has a different allotment, you might say, or a different calling. And so these things are measured out by Him. That, you know, we're given these things. And then in verse 8, wherefore He saith, when He ascendeth up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So, does it a mystery dispensation? You know, this is something Ephesians is quoting. This is a quote. So, but yes, it does. Even though this was written before the mystery and the mystery is unsearchable, that doesn't mean that this is revealing the mystery. This verse doesn't really reveal the mystery. It just shows us that this still applies in this dispensation. So when He ascended on high, this is thought to be at the cross. When He died, He ascended on high and made captivity captive and gave gifts. So yeah, that this applies today. That the gifts that you and I share today were given to us some time ago, long time ago. And then in verse 9, now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And there's been many discussions on the lower parts of the earth over the years. And there's different opinions and ideas on that. But I think what this is referring to is the 3 days that Christ was in the grave. So, what is it that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? I think that's a reference to the 3 days that He had died. And I know there's other thoughts on that, and those are just reflections I have on it. You know, that's something we can go and look at deeper. But in verse 10 it says, He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above, huperano. We don't have words for it, so we have to pick superlatives that we do know. Huperano, far above all the heavens, He ascended far above all of the heavens that He might fill all things. So, did Paul fully understand these verses that he wrote, or did all the other writers of the Bible understand everything they wrote that the Holy Spirit gave them? I don't know, because, in the previous dispensation, he said, then we will know even as we are known. And, so in that case, he didn't see it all, you know, but, it leads us to the knowledge of the Lord. So in verse 11, and it says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, some shepherds, and teachers. So, each one of us has a job. You know, there are evangelists. And when we say evangelists, don't think of that as evangelists that brings in people in John 3:16 salvation. This book of Ephesians is already written to those saints and faithful who believe in Him. And so, when we talk about an evangelist, we we talk about somebody that brings us the truth of the mystery to someone and brings them into the flock, you might say, to the fold. So, and without an evangelist, what would the pastors and teachers do? We have to have people brought in to teach and to shepherd. So that's an important job. The apostles and prophets, we don't think there are any of those today. Those were used for the perfecting of the saints originally, or the adjusting of the saints. We'll see in the next verse. But it's hard to say. Some have thought that maybe at the very end of this dispensation, he may, it wouldn't be to add to Scripture. Scripture is 100% complete. But who's to say that he couldn't reuse apostles and prophets in the future? Although in Second Timothy 4:1 it says, he will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. He will judge us at his appearing. So that everything will already be done at that point when we are manifested. All the judgment and everything will already be sealed in him. And I'm working on a lesson on that. Something Melanie said at the conference that's caused me all kinds of Bible study. And we broke out into a Bible study over at Jan's house. And Carolyn was there, and Chico and Lorna. You get a few people together in our group, and a Bible study is very likely to break out. And we start talking about a lot of these things. And Jan gave me that verse to remind me of that verse. 2 Timothy 4:1. And in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, Tony did a lesson, and he talked about the faith. And the verse he quoted actually did have the definite article with it. And he said, this is Christ's faith. This is not our faith. This is his faith. He's 100% faithful. So that's something to add to the dimension of that idea of the lesson I did on the faith. I went through all of the verses that talked about the faith, because it is something that we're all part and parcel of. But it's good to know that we have one who guides us and leads us that is 100% faithful, and that is Christ. But the whole reason I wanted to read this passage was just for that verse about the shepherds and the pastors, and in the note he puts shepherds. And the Bible gives us comparisons of and quite a bit of scripture on sheep and the sheepfold, the flock, and different things. I'm only going to be able to give you a few of the verses here. But next let's turn to John chapter 21, and we'll read verses 15 through 18. Now, I didn't manage to get a handout for you or an outline, but all I'm doing today, I've got 10 passages, and this is the second one. We just read the first one in Ephesians. There's 10 passages. So this will be the second one in John 21. And hold on here. John 21 says, and this is at the very end of the book of John, and it says in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That's agape. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Lambs are, of course, the youngest of the sheep, the children of the flock, you might say, the ones who need the most care. When a lamb is born, a lot of times the shepherd will pick it up in his arms for the first few days if he's a weakling and carry him around himself. And that's the good shepherd that would do that, that cares for his sheep. And then in verse 16, he saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. This was his future ministry that Christ was preparing him for. He saith unto the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, phileo thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So this is something that a shepherd does. He takes his sheep. And a pastor is also a teacher. I think we can compare that to the bishops and the deacons. I think the bishop takes on more of a role of a pastor, and I think a deacon takes on more of a role of a teacher. Although it's not cut and dried, there's overlap, I believe. I believe what I'm saying this morning applies to each and every one of us when I'm talking about duties of a pastor and so forth. Getting out the word. These are things we apply in our lives so that we can reach others. Okay, so let's go now to Mark chapter 6, and we'll read verse 40 to 42. And here it says, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Remember, this one is the feeding of the 5,000. There was a feeding of the 4,000 and so forth. And in each case, it was done for the disciples' benefit here. You'll see. And when he had taken the 5 loaves, verse 41, and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. He brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, the people. Christ gave the food to the disciples. He set them down in orderly fashion, but it was the disciples who were to distribute the word, you might say. And this was going towards the later part of Christ's 3.5-year ministry when he knew he was about to die. So preparing the disciples for their future and what they would be required of, what would be required of them. So here he's already showing them that it is for them to feed the sheep. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So this is what the great shepherd does. The Lord is our example as the perfect shepherd. And we're filled, and we get all that we can eat. It's all we can handle. But here's a lesson, though, that for the disciples, showing them what would be required of them. And then we go to Psalms chapter 23, something I'm sure most of you have memorized. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall lack nothing. Barney did a lesson on that one time that took the whole lesson just for the 23rd Psalm. And then going through, there are actually 7 Jehovah titles in the 23rd Psalm. You know, the things, you know, how he cares for us. But but he lieth me down in green pastures. So sheep are an animal that don't get to live in pens, in cages, and where in barns where they're safe from predators. No, they have to live out in the pasture where they're subject to harm. Wolves, who knows what all could come in there. Dogs, you never know. But that's the good shepherd has to protect them from that. But it's also green. In Psalms 23:2, it's also a green pasture. It's full of nourishment, and that's what the word is. We're nourished by that word, and that's how we grow and develop as believers. And let me turn to that real quick. In 23rd Psalm, he restoreth my soul. Let's see. Oh, he leadeth me beside the still waters. In verse 2. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So a shepherd's job was to also make sure that the sheep were watered. And I'm going to read something on that as a little farther ahead here. Yeah, I'll read something on that. But let's go on. I'm going to see if I can fit all this in. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16, did I put a marker? Let me see. Okay. Says, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. This was written right after Ezekiel went to Babylon. He was in the second wave, you might say, of people that went across from Jerusalem over to Babylon. Now, Daniel was in the first wave. He actually was there before Ezekiel, but he was not in the same location as he was. He was Shushan, the palace, was a little higher up on a mountain where Daniel was. But in the first 10 verses of this chapter, it talks about the false shepherds. And these are the ones who were supposed to guide the Israelites, but didn't. They were false shepherds. And I'll just read verse 5. It says, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. So that's the first half, but then we get to verse 11. Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. And in verse 12, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his, sheep that are scattered, so will I seek, excuse me, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Now this verse 13 and 14 is such a high elated thought. Now many Israelites, I'm sure, have memorized those two verses, looking towards their future, how God is going to preserve them. And we think about in 13 and 14 how great a thing this is, but it's not to be compared to what we have in the heavenly place. I don't even know how to compare it. How can you compare, you know, this hope that we have to the hope that these people had? But it gives you a kind of a picture or a thought, you know, of what, you know, of the goodness, you know, of those who trust him. Then in verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of, I'd already read that, shall their fold be, and they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, verse 15, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. And that lie down, they need rest at some point. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Verse 16, and I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. So we have many people in this category too. Those who are broken, you know, the Lord is going to, there are people here today that are broken, you might say. A broken spirit, perhaps, you know, because of things that have befallen them in this life. And it's true of us. It's true of us, and this is the comparison the Lord uses, because we totally are dependent on him. We're basically called sheep, and we're slaughtered all the day long for his name's sake. But basically, these things are all given to us to make us fit for what's coming, to make us fit believers and worthy. Let's see, verse 16 I just read. Okay, I'll bind up, and I will strengthen that which was sick. So this is something the shepherd does. He looks and knows every single sheep by name. He knows every one of his sheep, a good shepherd does. You know, he takes care of them. Now, I knew a guy, he was a plumbing sales rep, and in his younger days, he lived, I think, Nebraska or somewhere, I forget the state, but anyway, he actually had some experience raising sheep. So he would have his tent set up out in the pasture, and before he would go to bed, he would start reading something, and his sheep would all be gathered around the tent, you know, you have to get used to it. The congregation, you might say, always has something to say. So before he went to bed, he would go out there and scatter them. He would scatter them as far as he could possibly scatter them. And then he would lay down and go to sleep. And about a half an hour later, he would hear this thing, bang, bang. So you, basically, his point was, you just got used to it, you know. So the life of a pastor is not, you have to kind of want it. It's kind of something you have to love to do. But this, you know, maybe that goes along with the idea of murmuring. You know, the Jews always were murmuring about one thing or another. But this is one thing to know, you know, because one guy will say one thing and one guy will say another. The pastor is the leader. He has to make the decision which way to go. And it's all good. It's all part of his perfect plan. So all those things are good. But now let's turn to Zechariah chapter 11. And we'll read verses 15 to 17. And let's see, it says, And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. And then in the note here it says, a worthless shepherd. Here's Zechariah, and this was written right after they came back from Babylon. Haggai and Zechariah were written right after they came back from Babylon. And then Malachi a little time after that. But they were still building the wall, the temple, setting up the new second temple, as it's called. Everything was getting reset up, although it was a different thing than the first temple, obviously. But here Israel came back, according to prophecy, to Jerusalem, and it was mainly those who had been taken from Jerusalem, mainly the southern tribe, but not completely, but mainly it was the there were a lot of Levites also that were in that area, but that's who came back, and this is who he's talking about in Zechariah. For lo, in verse 16, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off. This is talking about the Antichrist. Which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock, the sword shall be upon his arm, and upon his right eye, his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. So we have an example here again of a worthless shepherd, you might say, and even worse than worthless. Here's someone who purposely tries to hurt the flock. He's worse than a worthless shepherd. So that's also something that Israel's looking forward to. That they will be in their land someday with the great shepherd. Then in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, this would be the seventh of 10 passages. John 10, verses 1 through 5 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that tendeth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I think that's too something about a good shepherd, a good pastor will have the trust of his flock, his fold. They know him. They've gotten to know him and trust him. And I'm sure you know of the examples I'm thinking of there. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. You know, if the blind leaves the blind, they'll both fall into a ditch. But I want to read something real quick here. And this was written about, this is actually in a Bible encyclopedia, and it's talking about the shepherds over in Israel today. And this was written about 100 years ago. And how much of this is exactly how it would have been back in times, maybe more, you know, it's possible that a lot of these traditions were taken from that time. As he said here, the chief care of the shepherd is to see that the sheep find plenty to eat and drink. The flocks are not fed in pens or fold, but summer and winter must depend upon foraging for their sustenance. Then it says, the shepherd frequently carries with him a pail from which the sheep can drink when water is not accessible to them. On the mountain tops, the melting snow supplied the needed water. The usual time for watering is at noon, at which time the flocks are led to the watering places. And I think this probably was also true in Bible times. And we have a couple references where they went to water their flock. After drinking, the animals lie down or huddle together in the shade of a rock while the shepherd sleeps. At the first sound of his call, which is usually a peculiar guttural sound, hard to imitate, the flock follow off to a new feeding grounds. Even should two shepherds call their flocks at the same time, and the sheep be intermingled, they never mistake their own master's voice. He carries a staff or club. You know, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And a characteristic attitude is to make a rest for his arms by placing his staff on his shoulders against the back of his neck. You know, you've seen how you can do that. You take a stick and you put it behind your head on your neck, and then you put both of your arms over that staff. You could, you know, you can do it with a baseball bat or, you know, anything straight like that. But that to me I thought was interesting, because as pastors, we have, you know, we have to pace ourselves. We have to take it easy. And, you know, he had a long day in front of him, these shepherds. So they had to pace themselves like that. And finally, Jesus is spoken of as the good shepherd. It's John 10 we just read. The chief shepherd, the great shepherd, and we're going to get to that one. And the one shepherd, that's John 10:16. But we're going to get to the great shepherd also. So, oh, yeah, I already read that. Okay, so let's go on now to the next one. We're in John chapter 13, and we'll read verses 13 through 15. And here it says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Here he's talking to his disciples. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So, even though we don't wash people's feet today, this is figurative, we might say, of how we treat other people. Now, if every single person in the group thought of others that better than themselves, just think about it. Every single person did it, thought of everyone else better than themselves, it would turn out that everyone would be, everyone would be exalted. Because you don't exalt yourself, but everyone else exalts you, so to speak. And this is, part of caring for one another, as, it falls into that category of what what is required of us, and as far as, spreading the word. Okay, and then Romans 15, verses 1 and 2, this is our ninth. We have one more after this one, Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So, there are always those that the shepherd looks after more than others, we might say, and that all of us do. It's a responsibility for all of us to pray for each other, encourage each other, build each other up in the faith, that we can be ready for that day. So, So a pastor needs to be a caring person, empathetic, we might say. And, you know, teachers, you know, I think a teacher is on his way to being a pastor. You know, I think that's where you start. But there could be, I probably could come up with more to back that up than just saying it. But finally, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verses, actually to the end of the chapter Hebrews 13, 18, all the way through 25. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Here Paul's talking, as Ron emphasized in his lessons on Hebrews, that Paul is bringing these things to the knowledge of those people early on in his ministry. And but we'll see in a minute in verse 23, though, how we can help date that a little bit. But it says, but I beseech you in verse 19, the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd, shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, willing in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So some things, as we heard today in Hebrews, are to us. Some things are not to us. Some things are for us. None of it is to us. But some of these things we can apply in a certain way to what we have today in our hope and calling. In verse 22, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. So at some point, Timothy was in prison, and we don't know about Timothy till we get to 16. So, sometime after Acts chapter 16, and that still keeps it early, but early in Paul Street. But that helps date us. That's the one thing about Scripture. It's got all kinds of things in it to help date the different events, without which we would have no hope of understanding Scripture. Verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. So, you know, these are all things for can reflect on. These are all things that could go along with the verse to walk circumspect. These are things, you know, that will help us personally and will help others also. With that, let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for all the people who tune in and listen to your word, each one, and those who are not well or those who are not doing well, not feeling good, Lord, put your hand on them today. Bless them, build them up, boost their spirits, and that we can walk worthy of the calling wherewith we have been called. These things we pray in your great name. Amen.